Sounds awesome like there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
Welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We're your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is the season four Bobby Awards.
It's award season, baby.
It sure is.
We just had the Golden Globes. Now we're having the Bobbies, as one does.
Was I nominated for an Emmy? Yes. Did I win it? No.
You literally were.
I literally was.
Like, you were on the ballot?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I knew the show was, but I didn't know. You know, some people might not know this, but for instance, I know someone that works in casting on Drag Race and they're up for Emmys. That show's nominated every year. But since the casting department is so big, they'll put half the team on one year. They'll put half the team on next. So you alternate. So technically the whole department is nominated, but you are technically not on the ballot. And not to make this about me, but my show was also just nominated. But since I had joined the show halfway through the year, my name was not on the ballot, but my work was still submitted. And the show actually did win an Emmy. So my work won an Emmy, but I did not win an Emmy.
But in our hearts and souls, you did win an Emmy.
I did win an Emmy.
Because you did
my
the work.
My work won an Emmy.
Yeah, exactly.
So wait, what category? Was this for best?
Best limited series.
Now, let me ask you what won.
Adolescence.
That's tough.
Yeah. They swept.
I just feel like it's not, it was great, but I just feel like that was a British show and like.
I think that Stephen Gallagher seems like the nicest, kindest human being on the face of the planet. I can't explain why, so I'm happy for him.
I am too, but your show was really good.
Yeah, so it goes.
I don't know if we've ever said what your show is, but we're not going to start now.
No, why would we?
It's a mystery.
Why would we?
It's a mystery, and my show's a mystery, but just know that we...
Just know that we're really working, okay? We're out here.
And we needed a very long hiatus this time because we're both overworked, and life is a nightmare.
Literally everything's on fire.
Life is a nightmare. We're overworked, we're tired, but we're back. And neither of us have Emmys.
Nope.
But we're going to get some Bobbies.
Who needs an Emmy when you could have a Bobby?
I'm saying.
Well, let's start with the best drink. Let's get that kicked off.
Well, who's going first this year?
Oh my gosh. We don't know. Wait. Oh no.
We were supposed to flip or something. In the meantime, we could talk about how the world has changed in the last 3 months.
Sure.
And that is heated rivalry.
My God.
I've watched the full series 4 times straight through. You guys might not know this. I'm a very patterned, focused wardrobe person. Solid stripes, plaids.
Ralph Lauren.
I bought a heated rivalry graphic tee. Like, who am I? I was wearing it at the mall and I ran into Connor Stories, who plays Ilya Rosanov on Heated Rivalry, and I luckily had a jacket on and I pulled it shut so he didn't see
Unbelievable.
Me. Yeah.
You sent us a picture of you in the t-shirt, which looks amazing, and then you sent us a picture of Connor Story from the side.
I know, and it's like, is it him? But then you see the mole.
It's the mole.
Yeah. So we have gotten requests to talk about Heated Rivalry, and I just think we should do like a Heated Rivalry Eps 1-3 episode.
I think we should.
4-6. So bonus, maybe some bonus.
That sounds good because there's a lot to say. It is so good.
It's the best.
And I got my partner to watch it. I mean, everyone's out here watching it.
It's really, I have not seen anything take the world by storm like this in a long time.
Agreed. That's something to look forward to.
Now, who's going first?
Heads or tails?
Tails.
You win.
I win. All right. So my winner of best drink is going to be the Après-Ski, which, correct me if I'm wrong, was the drink for Winter's Tale?
I believe so. And you are in your ski era.
Yes, I'm in my ski era. I just came back from my weekend of skiing. And I feel like this was my 4th ski trip ever. And I feel like this was the trip where I had a breakthrough. And it really felt
That's great.
Fun. Like, you know, I wasn't terrified the whole time. Like, I was really enjoying it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever in my adult life gotten to that point. When I skied when I was a kid, I did. But then I feel like every time I go down the mountain, I'm tense.
Yes, this was the first time where I didn't really tense. I booked a 1-hour lesson. Usually I do a few days of lessons and then you're with a group. And I booked like a private lesson, 1 hour, boom, bang, boom. And spent most of the time by myself just like living.
Just floating down those slopes.
And to quote Joey, I'm not even joking. Like, it really does make me feel alive. Like there's something about, because like I'm not a big extreme sports person. Like I don't bike, I don't do anything fast, I don't water ski. There's something about just like flying through. I've never been on a motorcycle. Like I'm just not like, I'm just not that, I'm not about that life.
It's really funny that your two examples of extreme sports were biking and water skiing.
Well, like I've never bungee jumped. I've never done any of that, nor will I.
No, at this point.
And when I say ski, I mean like green slopes, very flat.
That counts. I get scared on the bunny slopes. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah, yeah. I get scared of other people more so than like the...
Sure.
But anyway, the Après Ski, which is bourbon and scotch whiskey, some bitters. It's a vibe. Get into it.
I remember that one. It's like a old-fashioned-y kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. Delish. Well, mine is very similar. I am picking the Manhattan, which is kind of boring, but that is my go-to drink. So I feel like I had to pick it.
And that was for the episode where Jen goes home?
Admissions. That's the one when they're talking about going to school in New York. Mm. And then the next episode is the one where she goes home, Eastern Standard Time. All right. Well, cheers. Let's kick this off.
Cheers. Clink.
All right. Next up, we have the best dressed. I feel like we might have the same person for this.
I already know we do.
Gretchen?
Yes.
Yeah. How could it not be? I don't even think we need to pick another person.
She was just peak aughts fashion. And since it's kind of coming back, it still tracks. It's still relevant.
She was always in a good little number.
Remember when she had like the fur lined coat? Like it was like fur lining the zipper and then it kind of blended in with her hair. That was my fave. She is the moment.
She was the moment then and she could be the moment now if she wanted to.
I miss Gretchen. I love her.
Me too.
Well, next we have the worst dressed.
Yeah.
And since we do. I'm going first, I'm going to give it to Toby.
Yes.
Because as I just said, I'm not a big graphic tee person. He loves a graphic tee. He wore like a Thundercats tee. And I'm just not really into his style, to be honest with you.
I'm not into his style or his personality.
Anything about him.
Well, that's great because I thought we might overlap on this one too. I'm giving my worst dress to Pacey. And it's not the whole season. He just really fell into a schlubby era there for a while. And it wasn't hitting for me. I still love him, but he was having a rough go this season.
I agree with that. There was a point where I thought the worst dress had to be a main cast member or like of the mains. And mine would have gone to Pacey because some of the shirts just got a little outrageous.
And then the hair, not that the hair is the dress, but he let himself go there for a minute. Depression took over.
Like best dress, I think it's like aesthetic. You know, like I do include the hair. Best style, worst style. Yeah, Pacey, you know. But he started off the season so well with the shaved head.
Strong, really strong.
Shaved head was working.
I think that's even why he felt a worst dress for me, because the contrast of the start, the middle slash end.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Well, next we have best kiss in Europe first.
Ooh, this one was hard for me, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to give it to someone I would never expect. I'm going to give it to Dawson and Gretchen at the Christmas party. I just loved it.
Under the mistletoe?
Under the mistletoe. Mr. Brooks played a part in it. It was very cute. We kind of felt like it was coming, but it wasn't obvious. Like it was obvious it was going there, but it wasn't obvious that it was going to happen then. And I just liked that Pacey and Joey walked in at that moment and saw them. Everything about it, I thought it was really well constructed.
Yeah, there was something about that Christmas party where they really captured like the, I don't want to say Christmas magic, but they really captured the Christmas energy and the moment and the spirit. And I will never get sick of like a mistletoe trope.
Love it.
I've never kissed anyone under the mistletoe. I've never seen anyone kiss under a mistletoe. But on TV...
Have you ever seen a mistletoe?
I think so, but I never know. I never know if it's mistletoe or if it's just like a weird decoration. But on a TV show, if it's a Christmas episode, there better be mistletoe. There better be kissing. There better be tongue. Yeah, Christmas tongue.
Who's your best kiss?
My best kiss is also kind of shocking for me. I'm going to give it to Pacey and Joey.
Wow.
In episode 401, coming home, specifically when they're on the boat at the end, specifically when she's like in his arms and she's looking up at him. And right before she says, can we do that thing we used to do on the boat, which they allude to it being sexual, but it's reading. It's right before that.
Eating on their hammocks.
Right. So it's when she like leans over and looks up at him and he kisses her. Because I just think that's like a really iconic, memorable image. When I think of season 4, one of the first things I think of is like that episode on the boat, his head, his shirt. My close runner up was the Winter's Tale kiss. So both of my kisses were Pacey Joey.
I thought about that one too. That was one was my runner up. But then, you know, I really get thrown by I want to throw the wrapper away. It just makes it a little cringe for me. But also I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it a lot.
Worst kiss. You're up.
Worst kiss for me is from the prom episode, Promicide, and it's Toby and Jack.
I thought you might pick that. Why?
I don't think they have chemistry. I was not rooting for them. I did not like the interaction that they had at prom before that. I feel like Toby's very abrasive. I didn't feel like the kiss was earned. I don't feel like they have any on-screen chemistry. And I was actually rooting for them like not to kiss. So I think, which is like the main thing.
I completely agree. I cannot stand Toby. I think he is so awful. And I just hate his tactic of like, I'm going to make fun of you and hope that you love me.
Yeah, and like, to be fair, you know, the enemies to friends to lovers trope is done a lot, but there's something about it with Jack and Toby that I never got there. I think because Toby was so mean.
He's so mean, and he was into Jack from the beginning. That's the problem for me. When they're both enemies, and then they both have this realization, and then they come together, that's different. But I feel like Toby, even though he was genuinely not into Jack at the beginning because of the whole like quarterback thing and whatever, I feel like he was always attracted to him. Like, I feel like we always knew that he was attracted to Jack. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like a change of heart.
It wasn't just a true enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying for sure. What about you? What about your worst kiss? Tell me about your worst kiss.
I'm going to give mine to Joey and Dawson. I don't think it was necessary. I hate that they did it in the very last minutes of the season.
In Coda.
In Coda, when they're talking about going away and going to college. And, you know, we just had this whole season. Granted, Joey and Pacey had a tough season. So it's not like, but come on. She just had her heart broken. I mean, I guess it's whatever, but you know how I feel about those two.
Yeah, and I love them, but I definitely see your point. It just, I agree with you. I don't think it was really necessary for the scene. I don't think it was necessary to get the sentiment that you wanted, which was they don't want to leave each other.
Totally.
They're longing for each other. It's a big goodbye. They don't want to say goodbye. It's going to change everything. Like, I don't really think you had to introduce the notion of romance there.
And it honestly might have been more romantic if they didn't kiss.
Yeah.
Of that, like, replanting seeds kind of thing.
Did we talk about this when 423 aired? But Daydream Believers played during that scene, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's Joey and Pacey's song.
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
I don't know if we talked about it, but it really bothers me.
Yeah, it's weird. It's for sure weird.
If we did Worst Music Moment, that would be mine. And I love that song.
Yeah, it's just kind of weird that they cross-pollinated.
Everything about it, I didn't love.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. It was a little contrived, but, you know, I don't hate it just because I'm a Dawson Joey fan, but I could definitely see the argument. It was unnecessary. It was a little contrived. It was a little forced.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the validation. Best fight. I picked Jen and Jack after Great Expectations, and it's not a literal fight. It's like an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
But I think because we haven't seen the two of them have like a massive blow up, it felt really impactful. It's after Jack finds out that Jen gave Andy the ecstasy, even though she didn't really. And they have a huge blow up and they don't talk for a little while.
I love that fight. Jen says one of my favorite lines that I always think about. She says, you know, maybe you wouldn't do what I did, but I would never in a million years do what you're doing to me. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Love it.
I love seeing them fight too, because their fights are so, it's a relationship that you're really invested in. That's a really good one. For my best fight, Bobby, I'm going to give it to Joey and Pacey at Promicide.
Such a good one.
When he is just laying into her, and I know it's a scene that really is kind of gut-wrenching and cringe, but Joshua Jackson's acting is unreal during that scene.
Incredible.
I mean, you literally feel like you're watching a couple's relationship implode. You don't feel like you're watching someone act. And I know a lot of people think it's out of the blue, but for me, it has been layered in for 20 episodes, and it was just such a good culmination. And this idea, like Pacey not being good enough, and Pacey's self-esteem, lack thereof, is something that we've seen from like very early days, but there was just a fresh spin on it. And just the fact that it was in front of everyone, and it was just such a good fight.
So good. I think we talked about it a lot in that episode, but on this rewatch, I completely agree. Like, it was obviously unwarranted. Like, his blow up towards her wasn't right, but it did feel so earned watching them through the whole season, like from a writing perspective.
Yeah.
And him all red-faced. It's true. He seems, it doesn't feel like he's acting at all. It's so good.
It's crazy. It's really crazy, his acting. I think it's some of like the best like young adult teen show acting I've ever seen. He's just so good in that scene. And it is sad, you know, but I do see the argument that it's like slightly out of character because Pacey just adored her so much. But at the same time, you know, he had crippling self-esteem issues the whole show. So for me, it does track, but
it tracks.
They're going to be my Bobby winner for best fight because I think the fact that it does, like, you know, it is so gut-wrenching for all of us, I think that's a testament to how effective it is.
Totally agree. All right, next up is best guest character. So this will be like one-offs and arcs, not long-term season regulars.
Yes. Do you want me to go first both times or just one time?
Yeah, you can go first for both.
So my Bobby for best guest cast for arcs, I'm going to give it to Sasha Alexander, who plays Gretchen Witter.
She's amazing.
I just think she came in so seamlessly, really blended in with the cast. We've talked about it. She was a character who had a history with Joey and Dawson and Pacey, obviously because she's Pacey's sister, and Mitch and Gale. And it felt like that. It felt like she was someone that they knew before we knew them. And she just fit in so well with, you know, Doug and Pacey. And she just feels like a Witter. And she really had a lot to carry this season. And I think she's one of Dawson's like better matches throughout the series. So I'm sad that we won't see her again, which I think is like, you know, the testament of a good guest cast.
Totally agree. She was one of my top for sure, too. I'm going to give mine to Harv Presnell playing Mr. Brooks because he's so friggin' good. And I feel like on this rewatch, I appreciated that storyline so much more. Loved. And yeah, I mean, in the end, he was heartbreaking and wonderful. And I just really, really, really liked him on this rewatch.
I was so invested in that storyline this time. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's just an age thing. I think we've like all lived through people who have passed away now. And just, I remember being, it was like such a snore that when we were that age. But I liked now, also looking back, the different shades of Mr. Brooks. Like he's kind of kooky in the Christmas one. And he's, you know, and then there was that bombshell where like he overdosed. Which is like,
oh my gosh. Like, we didn't know until 2025.
I know. But that's what I love about this show. It's like you watch it and you kind of just see things differently and appreciate things differently. And
he's not just an old curmudgeon the whole time, which is kind of what he was in my memory.
But also shout out to Mark Metkovich, who played Drew Valentine, because, you know, he almost got mine.
Well, I might give it to him on
supporting.
Because in my mind, all right, well, let's just talk it out. This doesn't have to be the most structured podcast in the world.
No.
Because the next category.
It's just a recap episode. It's a recap episode.
Is best supporting character, not a series regular. And while he isn't one of our like normal supporting cast, he is in the entire season. So in my mind, I'm like, does he fit into that?
I think he could. He could for sure.
Because I might put him there. Well, whatever. Let's give Drew a shout out either way.
Yeah.
He's top tier.
So for best guest cast one-off, which is one episode, I'm going to give it to Jane Lynch, who played Mrs. Witter. That was just such a, not in a bad way, but it was such a weird episode. And I just love that, she, you know, she got famous after this. And I just love that she played Pacey's mom. Like, it's just so good.
It's so good. She fits in perfectly. She's so quirky, like the opposite of John Witter, everything we know about him. And I don't know. It's just so good.
Who got your Bobby for best guest cast one-off?
I think I have to give it to Andy Griffith playing Mr. Brooks's best friend. The fact that they got Andy Griffith to play a part on the show is so ridiculous to me. And, you know, he had a really nice moment with Dawson. He instilled some stuff in Dawson that makes him take a turn in the season. And I think he was, I mean, he's Andy Griffith.
It's crazy that they got him.
It's crazy. Insane. All right. Worst guest character. Same thing. One-offs and arcs.
Yes. So this is now this is character, not actor, right? So
not this actor. Is, yes.
We know none of this is the actor's fault. So we're pivoting to character now.
And oftentimes I find that it just means that the actor is even better because they made us feel feelings about their character. For arc, I am going to pick Dr. Tom, Jen's therapist. Oh my
God. It's like, who the hell is Dr. Tom? Yes.
He just had a weird vibe. I think he does have a couple of ex-patients hidden in his basement. I don't know. He had a weird vibe. I didn't hate him, but the therapist had a weird vibe.
Yes, he's a psychopath. I fully support that. I forgot about him, or I probably would have picked him.
He's a stone cold freak.
Him and his freaking turtlenecks. Get out of here. Although I will say I got a turtleneck sweater and I kind of love it.
That's different. Sweaters are different.
What does he have?
He has like cloth.
Not a cloth.
Like a thin knit.
So for my worst guest character for ARCs, it's not even a shock. It's Toby. Get out of here.
Yeah, truly the worst.
Get out of here. Take your high horse and go.
Nobody wants you here. Get out of town.
And again, actor, very nice. I've seen interviews, but it's just the character. It's the character.
Truly the worst. I cannot stand him.
Congrats on your Bobby. Congrats on your Bobby, Toby.
Well, worst guest cast one-offs. Mine is kind of, I think she is in more than one episode, actually. Maybe two or three, but in my mind, she's a one-off. Is Caroline Say, older sister to Molly Say, who's on the soccer team, and she's the one that like outs Jack and makes all of the dads come for him and fire him from being the coach. I hate her. She's flirting with a guy who's 8 years younger than her at her sister's soccer game, and then she outs him to all the dads.
Yeah, she sucks.
She sucks.
Props to you for you did a deep dive, which is great. Because I didn't. And
great. Who'd you pick?
So for my one-off of worst character of season 4, Bobby Winter, is Nick from the Tao of Dawson. Now, Nick plays Gretchen's skeevy old boyfriend.
That's a good one.
He's played by Christian Kane, who we love from Angel and a bunch of other stuff. But Nick was kind of a dick and a creep. And
total creep.
We don't have time for that energy.
No, we hate him.
We hate him.
But ultimately, he brought Gretchen and Pacey closer together, so that's nice.
And Gretchen and Dawson, because that's the episode where she goes to Dawson at the end and they kiss.
Yeah.
He is the winner of my Bobby.
Thanks, Nick. You did it. Okay, next up is best supporting character. So it's a series regular who isn't our core six. And you're up first.
For my best supporting cast, season 4 Bobby winner, I am choosing Mary Margaret Humes.
Gail.
Gail had a lot to do this season. She was Gretchen's boss. She got pregnant. She had that whole episode where she was considering not keeping the baby. She had that episode where she was very overprotective of Dawson when he was going out with Gretchen and her friends. She had the pregnancy stuff in the episode late where Joey thought she was pregnant. And she was just, she had a lot to do this season. And I think she's a very prominent figure. I just love her. I just love her on screen. Whenever Gail's on, I lean in and, you know, she's our namesake.
Well, in the same vein, I'm going to give it to Mary Beth Peel. Graham's had a lot going on this season. She had to decide to support Jen and let her go to college and sell her house to support her in doing that. She had to decide to move to Boston with them. There were just like a lot of big character changes for Graham. And I feel like she killed it.
She is a star.
Truly she is. And my favorite part that is not actually this season, but happened during the season, is when I saw her at the reunion singing, I Don't Want to Wait. And she didn't know any of the words, but that crazy old bat sang that song and she sang it with her whole heart. And it was hilarious.
So for most shocking moment, my Bobby for most shocking moment of season 4 is going to go to, we've touched on it, the 2025 realization that Mr. Brooks overdosed.
Shocking.
He took all of his pills, right? You kind of see him hoarding them away. And then when he's collapsed, you see his pills kind of strewn about. And I believe someone had to point that out to us.
I pointed it out to you and I was like, wait, right. And we put it together live on the spot.
And then someone messaged us and was like, yeah, I realized that in 1999.
Yeah, 2000, you morons.
2000, 2001. And I was like, never.
Insane. The greatest shock of all.
Yeah. And that was basically it wasn't like a true suicide. It was like he wanted to end his suffering.
He knew his life was ending and he just wanted to take control, I think.
He wanted to expedite things and save everyone the suffering.
I get it. Well, my most shocking moment is kind of similar, although completely different. When our little golden child, Annie McPhee, takes ecstasy and nearly dies. Who saw that coming?
The best.
Not me. Not me in 1999, 2000. Not me in 2000. I was shocked.
The power of that episode in that moment, I still have never taken a pill.
I know.
Like at a party, I've never taken a recreational drug pill form ever.
I haven't either, actually, now that you say it. It's scary. We talked about it during that episode, but between that episode and True Life, I have holes in my brain or whatever, never taking a pill. And now fentanyl? Oh my God.
It was this episode, but it was also when Brandon Walsh and Emily Valentine did Euphoria, which was supposed to be like ecstasy.
Oh.
You know, these episodes really have a lasting effect on you when you're that age because you're like, oh.
It's so true.
You're in those formative years and it's like not a PSA, but it's kind of a PSA. And it's like, well, if Andy can overdose, I could overdose. Well, she really was just dehydrated, but still.
Also, I would like to give a runner up to the moment in Two Gentlemen of Capeside where Jen sees Drew for the first time and you realize that they knew each other in New York because you've been with Drew, you've been with Jen, but you don't realize that they hadn't met each other. And it's not so shocking that it's like the most shocking moment, but that was really well done, I thought. Well executed.
Yes. And another, like if we do like the nominees are, which maybe for season five, we will do nominees are.
Sure.
I think another nominee would be when the revelation that Jen's dad sent her away because she saw him with another woman.
Yeah.
That's a pretty shocking revelation. I'm just not that invested in Jen's relationship with her dad. So it's not front of mind, but that kind of changes the, you know, canon
everything.
Of the series. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's shocking.
True. True story.
True life.
True life. I have holes in my brain.
So for best music moment, we're kind of going to talk about like these. This is what's on the ballot, right? We're going to talk about all the nominees and then we're going to each pick our favorite.
Okay.
But just to kind of do a refresher. So I think first up on the ballot, we have in 401 episode Coming Home, This Year's Love by David Gray, which played
so good
when Joey and Pacey are making up after their big fight at the movie in the water. And they're on True Love. And I mean, that was such a good opening song. It was such a good season premiere song. So that is the first nominee.
Next nominee for me is Never Saw Blue Like That by Sean Colvin. When it came on, I immediately sang every word. It plays for about 37 minutes in Two Gentlemen of Capeside during the whole end. There's like a montage and then we're checking in with every character and the song just keeps coming and it's so good.
The third nominee is I Will Remember You by Sarah McLachlan, which plays at Andy's farewell dinner.
So good. The next nominee is Fields of Gold by Eva Cassidy. It plays in 406, Great Expectations, and then again in 422, The Graduate. And it's such a good cover. So great.
So good. The next nominee is Colorblind by Counting Crows, which plays when Dawson and Gretchen return to Mr. Brooks's house after the funeral.
So good. A song that I have put back into my regular rotation after rewatching this season, Family Circus by Micah Green. So good. It plays in late episode 419.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's timeless. Truly.
The next nominee is In the Sun by Joseph Arthur, which plays in four stories. It's the morning after Joey and Pacey have sex, and it is when Joey is outside and she is upset and crying.
Mm.
And the final nominee is Good Mother by Jan Arden, which plays during a very touching Bessie and Joey scene, because we all know that Bessie is like her surrogate mother.
She is. And they had a roller coaster this season. So them coming back together at graduation was a really touching moment.
Yeah. So those are the nominees. Now we have to pick a winner each.
I know. It's so hard.
Okay. So my top three of all of those nominees are This Year's Love by David Gray, Pacey, Joey, True Love. I Will Remember You, Sarah McLachlan, which was Farewell Dinner. And In the Sun by Joseph Arthur, which plays while Joey is crying the night after she loses her virginity to Pacey. And while I really, really love This Year's Love by David Gray, the first thing that I typically think about when I hear that song is that movie Crazy Beautiful with Kirsten Dunst.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like a true music moment is like a show that I attribute to Dawson's Creek and Dawson's Creek only. So I'm going to take that off the list just because that's not where my mind goes immediately. And the same thing with Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You. Amazing song. It's not the first place my mind goes when I hear it. Now, I'm giving my Bobby to In the Sun by Joseph Arthur. And that is because it doesn't play during a moment where it's like it's a game-changing moment, right? It's not at the end of an episode. It's kind of at the beginning of an episode, actually. But I still listen to the song to this day. And I couldn't necessarily pinpoint the scene that I know it from. But every time I hear it, I know it's from Dawson's Creek. And it was just one of those songs that I like downloaded when I heard it. First time I watched this episode. And I still listen to it. So that's going to be my Bobby. The timelessness of it all.
I think that that's great. I similarly have a top three. I just talked about how I love Family Circus and I do love it and I still listen to it now. I don't immediately think of Dawson's. Obviously now, having rewatched it, I do. But before if it came on, I would have been like, this is a good song and not really realized where I knew it from. Colorblind and Fields of Gold are both two songs that I adore. But again, it's like Colorblind, I think of Cruel Intentions. And Fields of Gold, it's like just classic. I love it. So I'm not going to give it to those. I am going to give it to Never Saw Blue Like That.
I love that.
It is a song that immediately brings me to Dawson's. I think of the soundtrack. I think of the show. I think of the moment. Two Gentlemen of Capeside. So good. It's just pure Dawson's to me. So I got to give it to that.
I love that. Well, those are the best music moments, which we take music moments very seriously around here. So
we do. And I feel like as the season went on, we were kind of like, there aren't so many good music moments in this season. But there were a ton of good music moments.
Absolutely.
All right. We're getting into the thick of it. Best moment. My best moment is going to be the Andy dinner. The end of You Had Me at Goodbye, when everybody's together, everyone's realizing that Andy's leaving, everybody's sad and happy all at once, everybody, Jack and Jen, squash their stuff. Everybody's just, you know, living. And they're a little family and they take that beautiful picture. And it's just really sad and heartwarming all at the same time.
It is incredible. It moves me to tears. I love that they made her exit the reason that everyone comes back together. It was in my top three best moments. So I fully agree with you.
Love it.
So
what's yours?
This is hard. So I was torn between that, and I'll just give my runner-up moment. My runner-up moment was when Dawson gives Joey the present, and it's the picture of her and Pacey.
Oh, so good.
I feel like that was a very emotional moment, and it was a big turning point for the series, because that was him kind of, it was a personification that he accepts them. But my number one moment that I'm going to give it to is, we talked about it at the time, in episode 401, Coming Home at the Dive-In, when Joey comes face to face with Jack and when Joey comes face to face with Dawson and that music score gets going, there's something about that moment that like is very powerful to me. I couldn't tell you what it was. It was just like, it was just that moment. They capture it so well, like when you see people after a summer. You know, or yeah. If you had a friend and you had a falling out and then summer and you didn't see each other until you go back to school or whatever it was. There's something about that. And then they play that damn Dawson and Joey score. And that score gets me every time. So that's going to be my best moment.
I love that for you.
Thanks. So now we're getting into the, we're headed into the big bigs. So for best main cast, I'm going to give my Bobby for season 4 to Katie Holmes.
Wow.
And the reason that I'm going to give it to her is because I think this is the season where like Joey really kind of started to pull ahead. You know, a lot of the series was kind of on her shoulders this year. Not that it wasn't other years, but she had a lot of emotional stuff. She had the breakup, she had the pregnancy, she had dealing with Dawson and Pacey at the beginning, you know, like the subtlety of kind of playing the jealousy of Dawson and Gretchen while being with Pacey. Like this, I think it was like a really big season for Katie Holmes and Joey. And I was torn just because Joshua Jackson is so good in Prom, but I think as a whole, I have to go with Katie Holmes.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that she had so much to play, and I do think that the Gretchen Dawson stuff was like a layer that we hadn't seen so much of before.
Yeah. What about you?
I agree with you that Joshua Jackson is just incredible this season, but I am going to give it to Michelle Williams playing Jen. I feel like she had a lot going on this season. She had to deal with like, you know, she was in kind of a good place. And then the Henry stuff happened, which the fact that we were still dealing with Henry at the beginning of this season is insane. This was a very long season. The Henry stuff happened. She gets back on her feet. Drew comes into the picture. She's dealing with the, do I want to go back into the drug scene or do I not want to? Then she has to deal with the Andy stuff. Then she has to deal with the Jack fight. Then she has to, you know, like, there's just, the hits keep on coming, culminating at her going and talking to her father, which was hugely emotional and like really, I feel like, knocked down some walls and opened her up in a whole new way. And I don't know, I think she had a lot. She had a lot going on. She was dealing with the not wanting to apply to colleges. She just had a lot of stuff to play with this season. And I think she did really a great job.
I'm very shocked, but I don't disagree. I really thought you were going to give it to Josh. Or, I mean, shout out to James Vanderbeek, who had to play all that Mr. Brooks, Dot had to play, who played all that Mr. Brooks stuff. So, wow.
Yeah. And Josh was great, but it.
I mean, they're all good. And that's why the show is such a hit. I mean, they're all, not even, I was going to say the core four, but all six of them. I mean, everyone.
Everyone. I think for me, Josh played everything he was given so well, but parts of his character this season, in retrospect, began to feel a little one note. Like his insecurities, his, like, you know, the same stuff kept coming up where I feel like Jen was going through all of these different things. And I think that's why she shined.
Yeah, I can respect that.
Thanks.
Now we have best writer, which is, you know, a personal category to me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it to Maggie Friedman. Is that yours?
Stop it. Yes. Well, then we both have to give it to Maggie Friedman because I don't have another one.
Okay. We're both giving it to Maggie Friedman. I felt like she came with us last season. She had two episodes last season, two episodes this season. She had the Tay of Pacey and Promicide, which were both amazing episodes. Like really, really incredible. And she just deserves her flowers.
Yes. I took this category very seriously. I made a list of the writers and they made a list of all of their episodes. And she wrote three episodes this season. And
oh, my bad. What was the third one?
She wrote Promicide. She wrote the Tay of Pacey. And she wrote A Family Way.
Oh.
Which is the pregnancy test one when Dawson, you know, he doesn't want his parents to have it. And, you know.
Yeah. That's a huge episode.
You know, they're all good, but like she was three for three.
Yeah.
And then this is the season four Bobbies, but she wrote the anti-prom from season three.
Yeah.
And she was three for three this year. And there was really nobody else. But I mean, they're all good. This season really was, you know, even when it's coming up, the best episode, there's a best episode and a worst episode category. I really had to scrounge for the worst episode, which has never really happened before.
Yeah.
This season was really strong, but this girl killed it.
So good. So Maggie, come accept your Bobby. Come talk to us.
We're living.
All right. Best director.
So I believe we might have the same one again. But I'm going to go with Sammy Smolin, who directed, I believe it's episode 403, Two Gentlemen of Cape Side.
And also 402, Falling Down.
Oh, well, the reason that I'm giving it to Sandy is just because the Two Gentlemen of Cape Side, the storm episode is, I feel like, just such a feat, such a cinematic feat for the series, for any series. And just some of those shots of the boats and the storm, like, come on.
I completely agree. I think that, I mean, we talked about it in depth with that when we talked with Caroline during that episode. It was so different and outside of the box for them and done in such a different way. And I, even though we talked about how you can see the edge of the pool sometimes and like there's some CG shots that aren't 2025 quality, it's so well done. The boat, the everything. When we're in with Michelle and Josh and they're rocking and rolling, it was great. I'm with you.
Amazing. So he's yours as well?
Yeah, but I feel like we would be remiss. He was mine, but I feel like we would be remiss to not give our usual shout out to Greg. Prang is what we always say. I did finally find an interview and somebody said it's Prange. So Greg Prange, who is a mainstay in the series, but he directed 401 Coming Home. He directed A Winter's Tale and he directed Coda, which are like three huge episodes for the season. The opener, the finale, and Winter's Tale. Sex.
Mm-hmm.
So shout out to him as well.
Yeah, and shout out to James Whitmore Jr. who did The Unusual Suspects. Just because it was so stylistic, I think he deserves a shout out. But I think Sandy Smolin had a slight edge for me.
That's a great episode.
It was this...
Noir.
Yeah, it was this season's, you know, film noir mystery episode. Well, worst episode.
I'm very curious what yours is because I am with you in that I don't know what mine is.
This is what I mean. Because, you know, seasons 1 through 3 are everyone's standout favorites. And I'm not going to deny those are strong seasons and that's a strong era. But season 4, I think, is very underrated as far as a whole season goes. It's a really strong season. And I had to scrape the bottom. I do have a worst episode, but I really had to scrape because I'll be honest, I don't think this season hit a mid-season lull like seasons 2 and 3 did. I feel like it kept pace pretty well.
Yeah, it definitely did. I think mine would be Hopeless, which is the episode where Dawson and Gretchen go out with her friends, Night on the Town. Pacey and Joey go on a double date with Drew and Anna. And there's some Mr. Brooks, hinting at Mr. Brooks squirreling away his pills. But it's not a standout for me, but it's not a bad episode. I love the double date stuff with Drew and Anna and Joey and Pacey.
Okay, so it's the worst of the best, I guess, shall we say?
I think so, yeah.
I similarly had to scrounge to find a worst episode, but my worst episode, Bobby, for season 4 is going to go to Late. I do love the drama of it all, but it did feel a little contrived. I mean, we talked about it during that episode, you know, like Pacey's missing and she's... Like she could...
He's in a different time zone.
Like, there's weird stuff happening. Like she could just take a test, but she doesn't. And I'm in for the drama, you know. I'll buy it all day. But this was a strong season. So like we have to be picky. And for me, and that was also the episode where, like, remember they kept going to the doctor with Gail's false labor?
Yes, that's right. Right.
So Gail went to the hospital, like, I think 4 times. And look, the ending is so strong when they name the baby Lily. Very touching. But I have to say, it was between that and the episode where Pacey and Gretchen go to see Nick.
And that's a great episode.
Yeah.
That was on my radar, but I was like, it's good. And it has consequences for the rest of the season.
Yeah. And like that episode starts with Pacey and Joey fishing, where he's like, I have a crush on Gretchen, you know, and like it was really nice to see Pacey. So it's hard because even the bad episodes have good moments, like in Late, you know, naming Lily. Lily is strong. But
yeah,
there was weirdness in Late.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
Well, this is it.
This is the final Bobby.
And I'm going to be honest, I have more than one on my list. How many do you have on your list?
I had 3 on my list just in case, you know, you picked one of mine, but...
I have 3 on my list. I wonder if they're the same 3. They probably aren't, to be honest. Should we do nominees like we did for music?
Yeah.
Okay, you go first.
So the first nominee for best episode of season 4 is episode 403, Two Gentlemen of Capeside.
That was one of mine. So good. The next nominee is episode 412, The Tay of Pacey.
The next nominee is episode 407, You Had Me at Goodbye.
I had a tough time picking between that and my next nominee, which is 406, Great Expectations.
That was mine. So really, we only have 4, right? 4 nominees.
4 nominees. And my logic is, so when I think of this season, those are the 3 standouts to me. The Two Gentlemen of Capeside, Great Expectations, and The Tay of Pacey. Do I think You Had Me at Goodbye is a more emotional, like more impactful episode? Yes. But I think of Great Expectations as a whole when I think about this season, just something about it. Like you said, it sticks with you and it really, really did.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Tay of Pacey, seeing Pacey's family, that just is a classic for me. And yeah. Two Gentlemen of Capeside, I mean, we've talked about it until we're blue in the face.
The Two Gentlemen of Capeside was a very strong episode, not only with the directing, and it was very cinematic and they tried to do all these crazy things for a teen, you know, WB show, but it also was, you know, Pacey and Dawson kind of had their first thaw at the end. You know, Dawson saved Pacey's life. Jen and Drew came face to face. You know, like there was a lot at work in that episode, in addition to it, the production value being incredible.
We meet Mr. Brooks.
Yeah. So that was a big episode. So we have 4 nominees. You Had Me at Goodbye, which is Andy's exit, Two Gentlemen of Capeside, The Storm, Great Expectations, Andy's overdose, and The Tay of Pacey, Pacey's birthday. So those are the 4 biggies.
Who are you going to give your Bobby to?
Shocking that you did not pick Winter's Tale on your nominee.
I know. In this rewatch, it just wasn't one of the best for me. In my mind, before we watched the season, it was the episode.
I'm going to throw Winter's Tale on the ballot. I think Winter's Tale deserves...
Throw it on.
I think it deserves to be on the ballot because that was a game changer.
It is. You're right.
Well, I'm ready to give out my Bobby for best episode. I'm going to give my Bobby to You Had Me at Goodbye. As we know, Andy McPhee is one of my favorite Dawson's Creek characters. This is her last episode. It's very emotional. You know, her exit, I think it's very well written because her exit serves a greater purpose. It brings everyone together. It's just a very well done episode. And the stakes were so high after Great Expectations. Everything was so fraught. I just think it really closes the chapter on Andy in a strong way.
I agree. It's a beautiful episode. It's really, really great. I'm going to pick an episode that goes hand in hand with that, which is Great Expectations. It's a standout to me. It has all of the things. Everyone's so happy because Andy got into Harvard. She just wants to let loose and have a little fun. It has Drew and Andy together, which is like a hilarious dynamic. It's got everything. It's such a great episode, and it is just a standout for me. I will say, as I already did, that Winter's Tale was the episode in my brain before we started this rewatch, so it does deserve a shout out. But
yeah, me too.
For me on the rewatch, I think it was Great Expectations.
That's great. I love that Great Expectations because it's weird. You know, the time you watch it affects things, right? Great Expectations mm-hmm. really encapsulates the time. The party.
Oh, yeah.
The like, you know, glow sticks, the music, Chemical Brothers, those songs, you know, and like, I remember going to under 21 clubs.
Oh my gosh.
Which is like really what that episode reminds me of. And it was like, people were like doing crazy stuff. And, you know, there's just something the perspective of the 25 years gives you, it changes things.
It does.
At the time, Winter's Tale was like, oh my God, it was like aspirational. Like who doesn't want to be on a school trip with their boyfriend, girlfriend, crush? Like, oh my God, it's so... You know, but looking back, it's just things change.
Things change. I also love the Jack Jen storyline in Winter's Tale.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Winter's Tale is strong.
But not today. Not Bobby worthy.
It didn't win a Bobby, I'll tell you that much.
Well, that's it. That's the Bobbies. We're going to have two episodes that we've talked about before coming out before season 5. We have an interview with Gareth Williams and an interview with Liz Vassie.
And Gareth Williams plays Mr. Mike Potter and Liz Vassie plays the girl from Witch Island. They're both great interviews.
Yeah, they really are.
They were both great. And we love that they took the time to talk to us because like, who are we? What are we doing?
Who are we? We're not Emmy winners, that much I can tell you.
Goddamn Emmy winners. But we're the hosts of the Bobbies.
Yes, we are.
And you know what? That means something. I don't know what, but something.
It's gotta mean something.
Gotta mean something to somebody.
And you know, we're gonna be back with season 5 on March 11th. Praise be.
Yes. Our tentative start date for season 5 is March 11th.
Yeah.
We're sticking to our Wednesday premiere day in true Dawson's fashion.
Worked for Dawson's, works for us.
Let me tell you, I'm very excited about season 5.
So much coming.
Look, let's just say what it is, right? It's a new era mm-hmm. and it's different. Season 5 and 6, we all know it's not as strong of an era. Mm-hmm. No one's going to say season 5 and 6 are the best two seasons, but we're going to have a good time.
We're going to have a good time and we might have some cries.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Emotions yeah, for will sure. run high.
I'm very excited for season 5.
Me too. And also we'll find some time to sneak in a couple heated rivalry episodes.
Oh, yeah. And look, we know that Dawson is going to USC in California. Mm-hmm. We know that Joey, Jen, and Jack are in Boston.
Joey's going to Worthington.
And Pacey is
going on the boat.
Living his life. I believe he was in the Caribbean last we saw or somewhere.
Yeah.
And Andy has taken, she's in Italy, right? She's taken a gap
Andy
year.
Andy loves Italy.
Yeah. So we're going to get some new characters.
Some new scenery.
Yeah. And it's a fresh era. We're not in Cape Side anymore. So that's going to give us a lot to talk about.
We are going to have a whole new slew of people who could potentially win Bobby's next year.
That's very true.
Know that.
I have one word for you. Audrey. That's a tease. Okay. Well, these were the season 4 Bobbies and they were great. So I don't know what to tell you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right.
See you March 11th. Bye.